yes, Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is healing power in the name of Jesus. Come on, church.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
To break every chain.
To break every chain.
There's an army rising up. There's an army.
There's an army rising up.
Oh,
there's an army rising up. There's an army rising up.
We worship you, Jesus.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Oh,
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Come on, there's an army rising up.
There's an army rising up.
There's an army.
There's an army. There's an army rising up.
Take it up, take it up,
take it up. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain.
To
break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain.
Come on, let's worship the Lord. Let's worship Him. Hallelujah.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
You know where it is.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
To break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain,
to break
every chain.
Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for breaking the chains of low self-esteem. The chains of drug addiction, the chains of depression, Lord God, the chains of failure, Lord God. Lord, we thank you for breaking the chains off our past, Father God, that we no longer have to be held down, that we no longer have to hold our head down, Father God, but we're free today, Father God. We're free today, Lord God, free to live, Lord God, free to be husbands and wives, Lord God, free to be fathers and mothers, Father God, free to praise you. free to worship you, Lord God. Free to say thank you, Father God. Free to work, Lord God. We praise you, Father God, that we are free today, Lord God. We are free today, Lord God. Is there anybody free today?
Yes.
Anybody free today?
Yes.
Lift up your mouth yes. to God. Lift up your heart to God. Worship him.
Oh, we worship. Father, we thank you.
Lift up your voice to God if you're free today.
Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, oh, oh.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather together. Even, Father God, when we didn't feel like it, Lord God, we got it here, Lord God. We're here. We thank you for allowing us to be here, Lord God. And so today we lift up your mighty name. We lift up your mighty name, Father God. We praise you for all that we've been through, but we also praise you for the week that, Lord God, that is ahead of you, Lord God. We commit this week to you, Father God. We commit Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday unto you, Lord God. Have your way in our life in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. In the house of the Lord. God is good
all the time.
All the time. Amen. We want to welcome everybody to our Sunday 12 noon celebration. Let's give it up for the choir. We are going to be showing a video right now that we showed when we dedicated this building to the Lord a couple weeks ago. But for those that you weren't there, we're going to show it again. We're going to just celebrate the story on how God delivered this building into our hands. And so just kick back for a couple moments and watch this video. Sound. I just surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ.
You can start it.
And God gave me this vision. He said, Brian, if you serve me and don't give up, you're free. I was a teenager serving a life sentence in prison. I just surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and God gave me this vision. He said, Brian, if you serve me and don't give up, eventually I'll set you free to impact the world with the gospel. 16 years later, God did.
In 1967, a small group of believers moved from Huntington Park to Paramount to build a 400-seat church for the glory of God. Ultimately, they would call it Grace Church of Paramount.
Before we even lived in Southern California, we listened to Wilbur Nelson on the radio stations up near Fresno. And then on 1967, my work brought us to L.A., and we finally settled in the Norwalk area. It was early 1968 when we attended the first service here, and the main sanctuary wasn't quite ready, so they were still meeting in the social hall. And that place was just packed, and we were a little bit late, and we could just feel Christ-centered singing and voices coming out of that building. And we knew right then that this was the place for us.
In a turn of events, the church lost its pastor and membership began to decline. Their radio ministry ceased, and eventually they needed to move their service from the sanctuary to the smaller fellowship hall. But a small group of believers persevered, even without a pastor. They held on, hoping that God would do something.
Pastor Larry Wachemeyer of Light and Life Church North Long Beach took a chance on my wife and I. After hearing about our vision to start a new church, he embraced us and basically said, come into our church, recruit a launch team, raise as much money as you can, and eventually we'll send you all back out to start a multi-ethnic church with a vision to plant other churches. It's hard to find a building to start a church in, especially in an urban area. The first building we considered was on the other side of town. It was an old building, it was broken down, but we were excited to build it back up. A day before we were going to sign a 2-year lease, the owner backed out of the agreement unexplainably. We were frustrated because we still had a deadline to launch out of Light and Life. So we continued to pray, we continued to look. I must have drove past this property 100 times and never saw anybody walking around. I called over and over, but an answer machine always came on. One day, me and another leader jumped the fence over here and stood on the same grass, and we prayed over this building saying, Lord, give us an opportunity to use this building for your glory. About a month later, I called for the last time and the answer machine came on again. But then suddenly I heard a voice at the end of the line and the lady had answered the phone. I began to share with her my vision to start a church, and several months later, the leaders of Grace Church agreed to allow us to start Chapel of Change right here from their building.
We've dwindled and dwindled and dwindled in size, and so that's why we had prayed much. I know we prayed on our own too, you know, Lord, bring somebody, you know, because this building is really great and it could be used to reach to people, and that's what's needed. And so finally Morning Chapel of Change came, and we were just great, thank you Lord, it's just wonderful.
Chapel of Change launched with 700 people at its grand opening. This was a sign that God was up to something special.
God has done amazing things in this building since he launched Chapel of Change. Over 600 people have surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ right here at this altar. And we believe that God is passing off this facility to the next generation of believers so that Chapel of Change can be a regional church with a world impact. Let's go, Chapel of Change!
God is good all the time. Amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to release the teenagers with Sister Ina and Coach Kenny. If you're a teenager, you can be released with them. If you don't have a Sunday bulletin, you can raise your hand and get a Sunday bulletin. We have the announcements there as well as the study guide. Just a couple announcements as you turn. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. As we turn there, a couple announcements to make. On November 5th, we're going to have a special guest speaker on a Saturday night. His name is Michael Franzese. And Michael Franzese was in the mid-80s. He was one of the top mafia dons of the Italian mafia in New York. He was one of the richest, youngest dudes in the mafia. He was like four notches under John Gotti. He was doing big things. And then one day, God got a hold of his heart and changed his life. And now he's been speaking across the United States, giving his story. He just got done speaking at the Greg Laurie's Harvest Festival in front of thousands of people. And so on November 15th at 5:30, God is bringing him over here to Chapel of Change to share his story. So it's a free event. We encourage you to tell everybody, bring all your family, bring your block, bring everybody, just to be touched by what God is doing in his life. Lastly, tomorrow, someone say tomorrow. tomorrow, what's tomorrow? Monday, right? Monday at 5:15, if you are driving in the car or you got a computer, the Lord has blessed me with the opportunity to be speaking on KKLA. Is it KKLA? 99.5? The Frank Frantalk show. So that's tomorrow at 5:15 p.m. If you're on the freeway, if you're on the streets, just or if you jump in a car at 5:15 and turn on the radio, right? Because the Lord is going to be sharing with the world about Chapel of Change, amen, and what God is doing here. So we're really excited about that. If this is your first time here, we're super excited that you're here. Just kick back, relax. We want to bless you with a word. We also have free lunch after service. We also have a free gift after service. If you go to the VIP table, we're going to give you a free CD of My Life Testimony. We actually have four services on Sundays that one you can attend one of them. 9 a.m. here in Paramount, 10:30, 5 minutes away from here on Long Beach campus, and then 12 noon here, English and Spanish in the Fellowship Hall. I usually, most the time, preach all of them except for the Spanish one. I wish I would have learned Spanish when I was in prison. Yeah, that's one of my regrets that I didn't learn Spanish. But I can speak street Spanish, whatever that is. If you have your, let me keep going before I get in trouble. First Peter, chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, First Peter, chapter 2, verses 9. First Peter, chapter 2, verses 9. When everybody's there, say amen. First Peter chapter 2, verses 9, ready or not, here we go. I'm going to read to verses 12, and then we're going to come back and break some of this stuff down. Here goes the word of God. But you are a chosen people. Someone say, I'm chosen. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. I don't think you heard that. I'm going to say it again. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. He's talking about you. He's talking about anybody who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me carry on. That you may be prideful. That you may get the big head. That you may think you're better than everybody else. No, don't say that, huh? You got to follow along. Follow along. Here's what it really says. That you may declare, someone say declare, the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Has anybody ever been called out of darkness in here? Is there anybody here who's been called out of darkness? The word praises, when it talks about declaring the praises of him who called you out of darkness, it means to declare someone's approval. Like you have approved someone in your life. Has anybody approved of what God is doing in your life? I mean, has God ever blessed you before? Amen. Every day. Verse 10. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Man, that's shouting stuff right there. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I always would like to remind you always the difference between grace and mercy. They're two powerful things that we receive from the Lord. We receive grace and mercy from the Lord, but there is a distinction between both of them. Let me remind you, grace is something you receive that you did not earn. We receive salvation, but we did not earn it. Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, earned our salvation, and he freely gives it to us. Have you ever been blessed with something you did not deserve? Have you ever been blessed even though you messed up? Like you know you messed up, and God blessed you anyways? That's because of his grace. But then there's his mercy. His mercy is not receiving something you do deserve. You get the distinction? Mercy is you deserve death. You deserve pain. You deserve discipline, but God withholds his hand from you. He's giving you mercy. It's not receiving something you do deserve. Some of you don't even realize, but there's been times where you accidentally ran a red light and a car should have just smashed in the side of you and just rearranged your entire world, but God diverted that car because of his mercy. Because of his mercy, he withheld judgment. Verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires. I want to remind you that as Christians, we are not to live in this world as if we're going to be here forever. This world is only our temporary dwelling place. It is not designed for you to inhabit forever as it is today. You are just a temporary resident in this world. That's why it's important not to get caught up in the things of this world, because the Bible says this world is going to eventually be burned up with everything in it. And if you put your faith and you put your confidence on temporary things, you're going to be up and down, and you're never going to live a faithful life. This is only temporary, this world. Your pain is only temporary. Your situation is only temporary. Your season, that's why it's called a season, because it only lasts for so long. So don't make permanent decisions off a temporary season in your life. I don't know who that's for. Amen. But that's for somebody. I'm going to repeat that. Don't make permanent decisions off of a temporary season in your life, because seasons come and they go. Remember that old song? Seasons change. Let me stick to my notes. I don't know why I did that. Let me stick to my notes. Verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans, those are unbelievers, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Now, let me point a sidebar out here. They are going to hate you anyways. Whether you do bad or you do good, they're going to hate you. They're going to point the finger at you. They're going to criticize you. They're going to try to pull you down. They're going to say bad things about you. They're going to say you're a hypocrite. They're going to say this. But don't let, I don't even know if I can say this anymore. Don't let the haters stop you. They're going to point at you anyways, whether you do good or bad. They're going to point at you anyways. But he says, make sure you, when they do point at you, don't give them anything legitimate. Don't give them anything to stand on. Make sure you live in such a life that you don't give them anything to stand on. You don't give them any evidence to prove what they're saying is true. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? They may point, but they ain't got no evidence. Today I want to talk to you briefly from the subject, our ultimate mission. Our ultimate mission. I want us to think about some things today, because God is challenging us as a church to think beyond ourselves. I know you have pain. I know you have unanswered prayer. I know you have some frustration in your life. But one of the things that a characteristic of a Christian life is that he or she learns to become more and more selfless. Selfless. We look beyond ourselves. We look beyond our particular pain. We look beyond our particular frustration. And so I want to ask us today, what is your ultimate mission in life? Why are you still here? Why are you still breathing? Why is the heart in your chest still pumping? How is it that you can still breathe oxygen? Why are you still alive? Why didn't God just save you and kill you? What is our church's ultimate mission? Why did God birth this church? Why did God empower us to buy this building? Why do you see people serve week after week as greeters and ushers and children's ministry and hospitality and the worship team and the asphalt angels and everybody else on the on the media and the staff? Why do you serve week after week? Why do you do what you do? You always got to remember the why. You already know the what, but why do you do it? What is our ultimate mission? Is it just to get to heaven? Is it just to be blessed? Is it just to get your college degree? Is it just to get your wife back or your husband back? Is it just to get your family back? Is your ultimate mission in life just to stay sober? Is that all you're fighting for? Just to stay sober another day? That's good, but is that your ultimate mission? Just to stay sober? I'm going to give you our ultimate mission off the top, off the bat. I'm going to give you why you exist, why you're still alive, why you're still breathing. Are you ready for this? Here is your ultimate mission if you're ready to accept it. And it is this: help people meet Jesus. Help people meet Jesus. That's why you and I, that's why I'm still alive. That's why I still exist. That's why God extended my life. That's why God extended your life. Not so much that you can enjoy life. That's good. That's going to happen. Not so much that you can live happily ever after. No. We exist as a church, and you exist individually if you're saved, if you're born again, is to help people who are far from God meet Jesus. That's why we exist. Now, as a church, we word it as our mission is giving fresh hope to families in the city. That's how we word our mission. But the reason why we say giving fresh hope to families in the city is because our hope is a person, namely Jesus Christ. Jesus is the hope for the world. How many believe that? He is the hope for your marriage. He is the hope for your future. He is the hope for your sobriety. He is the hope for your eternity. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. You can't live right. You can't be a wife right. You can't be a husband right. You can't even be an employee right. You can't even walk right without Jesus. Our ultimate mission is to help people meet Jesus. Now the question is, how do we accomplish our mission? How do we accomplish our mission? I want to wrap our thoughts around three words this afternoon that is going to help us accomplish our mission, but is actually rooted in this text that we just read. Just three words. The first word, someone say number one, distinctiveness. Distinctiveness. You can write that down on your notes. And in verse 9 it says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Distinctiveness, distinctiveness. Our mission is accomplished by our distinctiveness. The word distinct means to live or to be different. Someone say different. Believers, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, we are to be different than the world or than unbelievers, or we are to be different than the world. We are to parent different. We are to speak different. We are to dress different. We are to live different. We are to work different. We are to respond to the struggles of life differently. We are to die differently. What good is it if we act like the world? What good is it if we walk like the world? What good is it if we talk like the world? What good is it if we smell like the world? 1 John, the apostle says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires pass away, but the man or woman who does the will of God lives forever. What does that mean? Does that mean we're not to enjoy the things of the world? That's not what that means. It means you're not supposed to hang your hat on the world. You're not to make your main priority the world. You're not to be caught up in the world. You're not to just, you know, be consumed by the things of the world. And that's how the enemy is taking the power out of the church, is because he's allowing the world to seep into the church. And so when it's time to pray for somebody, there's no power. There's no unction. There's no anointing. It's because throughout the week we're doing everything like the world, but then we want to get like God when we need a prayer answered. Or we need God a breakthrough in our life. And so look in the text what the apostle calls us in 1 Peter that we read. He calls us three things. The first thing he calls us is a chosen generation, a chosen people. Listen, God chose you. Someone say, God chose me. And Psalms 33:12 said, blessed are the nation who God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. That's something to shout about. That even in your mess up, even in your rebellion, even when you were crazy, even when you were doing all that you do, God chose you. He chose you. He called you by name. He didn't just mix you up with a crowd of people. No, he called you by name. The reason why you're here today is because God called you by name. You may think your mom brought you. You may think your aunt told you to come. But no, God called you by name. And that's why I love our God. He treats us like an individual, not just a bunch of people. Even in our brokenness and in our pain and even in our sin, Jesus chooses us. He chooses us. The second thing he calls us is a royal priesthood, a royal priesthood. Every believer in Christ Jesus is a priest unto God. It's called the priesthood of believers. I know this is something hard to understand, but the reason why we're behaving the way we behave is because we're not seeing ourselves as the way God sees us. If we begin to look at God or look at ourselves as God sees us, then eventually our behavior will act out because priests ain't supposed to act a certain way. What does the priest do? A priest, ultimately, they help prepare the way for people to meet God. In fact, in the Latin, the word priest means bridge. You are a bridge. Your life is a bridge by which people can meet Jesus. But if your bridge is corroded, if your bridge is messed up, if you got holes in your bridges, people cannot meet Jesus. The third thing he calls us in this text is he calls us a holy nation. Man, can you believe that? Can you imagine that? God calls you holy. God, Almighty God, calls you holy. He says you're separated and set apart for my good use. That's what the word holy means. It means separated. God separated you from your past failure. He separated you from your past life. But he didn't just separate you. He has appointed you and set you apart for his mission. Don't answer that unless it's Jesus. And it ain't Jesus, because Jesus is speaking. God wants to use your life. You might say, I'm not good enough. I'm not holy enough. I'm not sanctified enough. I don't act right good enough. Let me tell you something. God makes you holy. When you accept Jesus Christ and you repent from your sins, he automatically, by his power, it's called sanctification, he makes you holy. He cleanses you up. This is what I love about the God of the Bible. See, the God of the Bible, he makes you something, and then he turns around and says, live up to what I already made you. See, the God of the world and other religious systems, they tell you, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that, and maybe you'll become it. Maybe you'll wake up and become it. But the God of the Bible says, no, I know you cannot live up to me. I know you can never get close to me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make you holy. I'm going to make you righteous. And now, out of your gratitude, out of your appreciation, because I ain't never been holy, God, I ain't never tried to do right. You leave me alone, I'm going to kill somebody. You leave me alone, I'm going to kill myself. But you made me holy. Oh, my God, I want to please you. I want to live for you. I want to do right. And so he makes you something, and out of appreciation, when you really get a revelation, when you get a revelation of, man, God, you made me holy, even though I did this dirt, even though I slept with this guy, even though I got high, you still making me whole, you made me holy. My goodness, I want to live for that person. I want to live. That's what I love about God. I want to live for him. Philippians 3:16 says, only let us live up to what we have already attained. God is telling somebody to live up. Live up to it. Stop trying to find it. Live up to it. Stop trying to grasp it. Live up to it. Step up. Step up. Step up. Step up. Touch your neighbor. Say, step up to what God has already made you. Step up to what God has already made you. Somebody got to live up to it. You stop trying to find it. Stop trying to seek for it. You are already it by the grace of God. You are already it by the mercy of God. You are already it by the blood of Jesus. Now just live up to it. Walk in it. Walk in it. Walk in it. Distinctiveness. Distinctiveness. The second word. Someone say number two. Declare. Declare. The verse 9 says that you may declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Not that you can get a big head, not that you can be prideful and say, look at me, I know the Ten Commandments, I know John 3:16, I go to church every Sunday. Not so that you can be prideful, no, but that you can declare, that you could communicate the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Look at the relation to this. You are distinct so that you may declare. You are distinct so that you may declare. Distinctiveness is not just so that you could turn heads. Distinctiveness is not just so you can catch attention. It's distinctiveness is not so you can look funny, or it's not just so you can look holy. Distinctiveness is not so you can, people can look at you and say, oh, look at her, look at him. No. Distinctiveness is so that you can have an opportunity to declare your faith in Jesus. That's why he made you distinct. That's why he called you out. To give you an opportunity to speak about his goodness or communicate his goodness. God is calling us to communicate to this generation. He's calling us to communicate about the goodness of God. In fact, Psalms 145:4 says, one generation will declare your works to the next and proclaim your mighty acts. Let me tell you something. God is looking for some people that will be brave enough, that will be courageous enough to declare his works to the people around him or to the generation we live in. We cannot remain silent anymore. You weren't silent when you got the connection. You weren't silent when you got that nice car or you got money in your pocket. You were telling everybody, but now that you've been delivered from darkness and put into his marvelous light, don't remain silent now. Listen, everybody has a testimony to share. Everybody. Even if you have been good all your life. If you never did any drugs, if you never did any alcohol, if you never harmed anybody, if you never busted a grape, that's your testimony. Not all testimonies have to involve blood and guts and near-death experiences. Too many people come near death 59 times in their life. No. Everybody has a testimony, even if you've done good all your life. I pray, my prayer is that my 5-year-old son, Nathaniel, will one day get up on this pulpit and 20 years from now and share his testimony and grab this microphone and say, listen, I ain't never smoked weed. I ain't never drunk alcohol. I never got drunk. I never hurt nobody. I was raised in the church, and I still love Jesus. I still need Jesus. There have been some folks that have grew up in the church and they hate Jesus now. They're running from Jesus. And so, evangelism is all about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We are called to share this good news. We are called to communicate to this generation. Now, we're not all called to speak to thousands of people, but we're all called to communicate to the one or two that's in our path in our life. First Peter, the apostle, says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. This implication is that they're going to see something different in your life, and they're going to raise their hand and say, excuse me, can I ask you a question? Why are you still smiling when somebody just passed away in your life? Why are you still smiling when you ain't got no rent to money to pay rent? Why are you still smiling when you just got laid off? And you need to have an answer to point to Jesus. I want to encourage the church to start thinking about sharing your faith in Jesus. Jesus is good news. People want good news. We live in a world full of bad news. Has everybody heard of Ebola? Yeah. We live in a world full of bad news. Anybody ever heard of cancer? Anybody ever heard of ISIS? Anybody ever heard of depression? Anybody ever heard that the divorce rate is 50%? We live in a world full of bad news that people, they need good news. They're jumping off bridges trying to seek good news or because they don't have good news. And I know it's hard to share your faith with somebody. I would be the first to admit I struggle with sharing my faith one-on-one with somebody. I know it sounds crazy, but I could easily speak in front of thousands of people. But when you get me one-on-one with somebody, I struggle just like everybody else. And I get feared. I get tense. I start to sweat. But I'm trying to work on it. Amen. And I'm trying to encourage the church to work on it, that you have a path. You have a route. Every week that you take, you go to the same gas station. You go to the same store. You go to school. And there's people in your pathway, and I want you to begin to open up your eyes. You don't necessarily have to preach to them a four-point message and a poem. Just let them know how good God has been to you, how he has answered your prayer. Just, you're supposed to be a farmer. You just plant the seed. God will give the increase. And so I'm working on it. I struggle like everybody else, and I struggle. How are they going to receive it? How are they not going to receive it? You know, I struggle with sharing my faith one-on-one. My wife is braver than I. But I'm working on it. I want to share with you a couple examples. And not too long ago, I was at the hobby store. I want to share with you this picture. I was at the hobby store, and God gave me this opportunity not to preach, but just to share God's goodness with this one brother. He was like a hillbilly brother right here. And he was this big brother, right? And I began to share with him, and he responded positively, in so much he started to hug me. And I said, whoa, brother, back on up, all right? I just want to tell you how good God is, not me. But anyways, I said, let me take this picture, man. And so, Brother Jeff, God bless him, he had the hobby store somewhere in Lakewood, right? Don't even know that brother. I don't even know him. But, I shared my faith with him, and just God is good. He answered my prayers. And I believe it or not, I don't tell people I've been to prison. I keep it simple because they don't believe me anyways. They think I'm lying to them. And then I got to go into all the story, and then they start to grab their money and grab everything else. You know what I mean? So I just keep it simple. God has been good to me. He's answered my prayer. I got a beautiful wife, a family. You know what I mean? I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, going to heaven. Just keep it simple. You should see some of the people I tell I've been to prison. They're like, what? So I don't do it. People tell, I've been with some pastors, and they tell my story to other people. I said, man, I didn't give you permission to tell my story. Making me feel all awkward. Now everybody looking at me. I want to share with you another story. In 1993, 94, I was in the California Youth Authority when I was doing my life sentence, and I didn't even know about the Bible. You know, I was just saved. I was excited. I didn't know about, you know, the Trinity. I didn't know about all the big theological words and all that stuff. No, I was just excited that somehow in the midst of my drama, I had peace. I had joy. In the midst of my chaos, you know, I had peace and I had joy. And so let me show you this other picture. I bumped into this one short dude. He was a short, round guy, and he was about 18 years old. He was a gang member. Right, he was serving a life sentence. He didn't have no hope to get home. He had no hope for a future. I was just telling him what God was doing for me. I couldn't even explain it well. I just knew that I could sleep at night. I just knew that I could lay down in bed with a life sentence and still go to sleep. Anybody could identify that? You could still sleep in the midst of your storm. And so I just started planting seeds with this guy. Didn't know what God was going to do. And eventually, right, 20 years later, this brother is one of the leaders in our church, and he serves the Lord right here at Chapel of Change. He served the Lord right here, and he's in the back somewhere unless he cut off early. I'm going to put him on blast. He better not have cut off early from church, but he's somewhere right here. Don't look at your neighbor. He might be sitting next to you. All we're called is to plant seeds. Plant the seed. Plant the seed. I want to challenge you. Plant seeds. I want to challenge you. The third word, someone say third. The last one is demonstration. Someone say demonstration. It says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Let me share with you the statement that I once learned. I found out. It says this. It says, share the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Think about that. Think about that. We are not only to declare the gospel, but we are to demonstrate the gospel. And let me just let you know, in case you have not realized it or not, our generation is fed up with hypocrisy. We are tired of seeing people say one thing but do another. We're tired of people saying one thing but do another. And if we're going to reach our generation, I want to let you know it's going to have to be more than just words. It's going to have to be more than just words. We're going to have to be people of action, people of good deeds. We're going to have to be people who serve the less fortunate. One of the things I love about Chapel of Change is not only do we serve the poor, but we sit with the poor. We praise with the poor. We worship the poor. And as we get lifted up, we lift up everybody around us. Jesus said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We can not only just declare this, we need to demonstrate this. We need to show some evidence that this thing is real. We need to show our life that this thing is real. We need to point people to our life, not just our words. Before I started, we started Chapel Change a couple years ago. I was driving back from L.A. On a speaking engagement. I decided to take the streets, and I noticed as I was driving through Los Angeles all the way back to Paramount that there was a church on every street. There's a church on every block from here to Rancho Cucamonga. And I began to talk to God. I said, God, why do you want us to start another church? There's a church on every block. And as I begin to pray and as I begin to talk to people and I begin to talk to God, I just felt in my heart God told me, he said, Brian, I don't want you to start just another normal church. I don't want you to just start another average church. There's three things, unique things, that I want Chapel of Change to be about. Three things. Number one, I want Chapel of Change to be a multi-ethnic church. I want people to walk through this door and to see people that look just like them. I want them to walk through this door and say, man, that brother looks like me. Maybe I can do that. Or that sister looks just like me. Maybe I can do that too. Maybe I can be used by God just like her. I want Chapel of Change to be a piece of heaven on earth, because in heaven it says that all nationalities and all creeds and tongues are worshiping the Lord all together. All together. Secondly, he said, Brian, I want Chapel of Change to be a church planting church. I don't want you to build your kingdom. It's not about your kingdom, Brian. It's about my kingdom. And so through Chapel of Change, I want you to launch out, and I want you to launch people out that start churches. And so we started doing this. We're making baby steps in this. We started a Spanish service. We started a Long Beach campus. And pretty soon, we're going to be spitting churches out left and right by the grace of God. Thirdly, what I want to talk about a little bit today, he says, Brian, I want Chapel of Change to be a city-focused church. There are too many churches in this world that all they concerned about is me, 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 me. And they come to church Sunday after Sunday and they scratch each other's spiritual back and they go about their life and they don't care about the community around them. They don't care that people are dying of drive-bys right in front of their pretty little chapels, and they don't care that there's dirt right there in front of their pretty little churches. And he said, Brian, I want you to be a city focused church. I want you to be an outward focused church. I want you to be a church that tangibly changes the community around you. I don't want you to just be a church that comes on Sundays and play patty cake and massage each other spiritually. No, I want you to be in the nitty gritty. I want you to get dirty. I want you to get your elbows cut. I want you to get your knees cut, because you're living out this gospel on a day-to-day basis. God said, I want you to be a church that so invests in the community that if you would ever die, the city would cry. And so throughout the year and throughout the months, we give various opportunities for people to serve the city, the community around them. We have the Long Beach Rescue Mission that we do. It's an opportunity to feed and help people. We have the Lydia House, which is an assistant living. We go and help them. We have Breakfast with Santa. It's coming up in December in the Paramount Park. We help feed over 1,000 underprivileged people right there. We serve. We dress up. We don't dress up, but we serve, and we hand them out pancakes and all that stuff. We also have once a quarter, we attempt to have what we call the Serve the City Days. Serve the City Days. I want to show some pictures right here of Serve the City Days. We go out there. This is our team, and this is Sister Alicia right there, and the other sisters on the side of them, right? They are painting over graffiti, but I don't know. She got distracted and put COC on the side right there. I don't know what she was doing right there. I hope she covered that up. Change that picture real fast. Change that picture. Show the other picture right there. Okay, we have another team. They're painting a house, and they're painting a fence, and they're taking a break right there. They're taking a break. They're getting some water. I hope they're taking a 5-minute break right there. But they're painting. And so in the last 2 years, we have been able to donate or to give 900 volunteer hours to the city. 900 hours. We painted the bridge on Alondra. We painted the bridge on the Rosecrans. We did an elderly lady's house in the back here. We fixed her faucet. I don't know how much the regular city worker gets paid, but say if they get paid $16 an hour, and you pay $16 an hour times 900, that's almost $15,000 worth of services our church gave to the community. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. We're not just coming in here and singing a song and hearing a sermon with a poem. No, we're putting our faith to action. We're demonstrating our faith. We're getting down and dirty where the nitty-gritty is. Amen? And so if you're going to be part of Chapel of Change, you're going to be challenged to get up out of that pew. You're going to be challenged to paint a fence. You're going to be challenged to pick up some dirt. You're going to be challenged to be the church and not just attend church. You're going to be challenged to be the church. And so here's the big question as we close. This is what I want us to think about in these remaining couple minutes that we have. Are you fulfilling your mission? Are you fulfilling your mission? Are you living a distinctive life, or are you just fitting in? Are you declaring or communicating the gospel? Are you sharing with people how good God has been to you? Have you, the last time God answered a prayer, have you told somebody that your prayer was answered? Have you come back and said, this is what God has done for me? We pray for people at the cross. When your prayer gets answered, come back and share your testimony. You pray individually right here at the altar. When God answers your prayer, he gives you a breakthrough. Communicate that. Write it on Facebook. Text somebody, phone somebody, or holler at somebody. Let somebody know what God is doing in your life. Thirdly, have you been demonstrating the gospel? Are you doing more than just attend church? Are you being the church? Are you letting your light shine? And so in these last couple moments, let's all bow our heads. And in just in an atmosphere of reflection, we're just going to allow a couple moments for us to just reflect upon what God has said and think about how God specifically spoke to you. What area do you need to increase in your life? Let's bow our heads and remain in an atmosphere of prayer. if you're here today and God is tugging at your heart about your mission, and you know you haven't been faithful to your mission, you recognize that God has saved you, you recognize that God has delivered you, but you just haven't been living up to his expectations as it refers to fulfilling your mission. What we're going to do is, if there's anybody in here who wants to just recommit to their mission, recommit to our ultimate mission, like you want to just let God know that, God, I'm gonna demonstrate more, I'm going to declare more, and I'm going to be more distinctive. I'm going to live more a distinct life. And if that's you and you want to make that commitment to end this year strong, you have a chance to end this year strong in fulfilling your mission. You have a chance to end this year strong. And so if you want to commit yourself to your ultimate mission again, I want to ask those who feel that tug in your heart, just as an act of faith, just to stand up right where you're at. Just as an act of faith, just to stand up right where you're at. And if Junior and the worship team can come back, you need to commit to your mission. You just as an act of faith, just stand up right where you're at. You're going to say, God, I'm going to declare more. I'm going to demonstrate more. I'm going to live a more distinct life. We'll wait a couple more moments. These next couple weeks and even months and even at the beginning of the year, God is going to give you more opportunity to fulfill your mission. You're going to be driving, you're going to walk along, and you're going to see people, and you're going to see opportunities where God is going to remind you that you made this commitment. Even in the church, when we make announcements about serve the city or we make announcements of opportunities to serve, they're going to become more real to you and more meaningful to you. It's not just about coming here and being an usher. It's not just coming here and being children's ministry worker. It's about fulfilling our mission, and it's going to become more real to you, more insight, more revelation to you. And out of appreciation in your heart for all that God has done, out of appreciation of God having mercy on you, you are going to begin to serve the Lord more passionately, more diligently. You're going to give your life over to God's mission. You're going to give your life over to God's mission. Someone in here needs to give their life over to God's mission. You need to sell out to God's mission. You've given your life over to other things, but now it's time for God's mission. You've tried other things. You've given your time, your energy to other things. They haven't worked out. They've just called you frustration. It's because that's not your ultimate mission. That's not your mission in life. Your mission is to help people meet Jesus. Your mission is to obey God. And so as you commit this afternoon, God is going to bring to your attention more opportunities for you to fulfill your mission. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we first repent of our laziness. We repent of our rebellion, Lord God. And today we make a decision to recommit to the mission, Lord God, of the church. Recommit to the mission of Jesus. Lord, today we surrender fully to your mission. Even though at times it's uncomfortable and inconvenient, we will sacrifice for the sake of your mission, Lord God. We surrender to your mission. We surrender. Someone say, I surrender. Someone say, I surrender. We're going to seal it. We're going to seal our surrender with just a couple moments of worship. We're going to seal it with just a couple moments of worship. Let's worship the Lord together.
And I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge. choose you, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God,
forever.
And I lift my hands to believe again. My strength, as I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, for it. Come on, church, and I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, you are my strength. As I pour out my heart, these things I remember. You are faithful, God, forever. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. Open my eyes. Open my eyes. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. Open my eyes. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, you are my strength. And as I pour out my heart, these things I remember, Lord. You are faithful, God, forever. And I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, you are my strength. And as I pour out my heart, these things I remember, Lord. You are faithful, God. Faithful, God. You are faithful, God. Faithful, God. Forever. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. Come on, church, all over this building. All over this building. Let faith arise. Come on, church. Declare it. Declare it. Let faith arise. Come on, church, to sing it. Let faith arise. Come on, arise. Open my eyes, open my eyes. Let faith arise, let faith arise. Open my eyes, open my eyes. Oh. I lift my hands to believe again. You are my refuge, you my strength. And as I pour out my heart, these things I remember, Lord. You are faithful, God, forever.
Let's give the Lord a hand praise. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
Amen.
Did anybody get anything out of that today? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand praise one more time. Amen. At this time, we are going to begin to worship the Lord through our tithes and our offerings today. How many God has been good to you this week? How many God has been good to you this week? Amen. I want to remind you that if this is your first time here, please do not give anything. We have a gift for you. We have free lunch. We have a free CD of my full-length testimony. You can get it after service. But if you're part of Chapel of Change, if you've been coming here, if you got a word, amen, we want to ask you to get your best gift ready for the Lord because we worship the Lord through our giving. We worship the Lord through our giving. We show our appreciation to the Lord through our giving. Also, I want to remind you that there's a debit machine in the back if you after service. If you want to give through the debit machine, I want to remind you about Thursday night church. If you need a midweek blast, you can come. Worship starts at 7:15 on Thursday night. But if you want a free dinner, it starts at 6:45. We encourage you to come out to a Thursday night service. What we're going to do is I'm going to pray over the offering. But then Sister Sandy, Pastor Sandy's going to come up and give a special announcement before we start the song. Pastor Sandy, give it up for Pastor Sandy. I'm going to pray over the offering. We're going to take up the offering. As we're taking up the offering, Sister Sandy's going to give the announcement. Amen. Let's pray over the offering. Father God, we thank you for the ability to give. We give because you first gave to us. We give out of appreciation. We recognize that all that we have is yours. And we want to just give back, Lord God, because we love you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, bless this offering. Amen. Amen.
Good afternoon, church. God bless you.
Yes, God
Amen.
Bless you.
I just wanted to share that the Spanish ministry is hosting a women's conference banquet. And if you know, it's going to be November 1st from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. If you know anyone who speaks Spanish that will benefit attending this event, we're going to have our own pastor, Laura Worth, giving one of the conferences as well. So we're so excited about, you know how much I pray for her? I know God is going to use her tremendously. We have another Noemi Chavez, which is Pastor Joshua Chavez's wife, that also will be ministering in Spanish. All it's in Spanish. The reason why I wanted to share it with you, because you might know a neighbor, you might know an aunt or a grandma who speaks Spanish, that I know it's going to benefit their lives. The theme is just activating courage in you women. Activating courage. It takes courage to be bold for Jesus. So I ask every woman who speaks Spanish to attend. $35 is the cost. God bless you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, Sandy.
Where would I be without your grace? I'd be lost without your grace. Could I live without your grace? The life that I have is by your grace. I am free. I'm forgiven by the work at Calvary. You gave me life worth living. Now the chains are broken. Chains are broken.
Found me. I am saved by grace.
I have life, and it's only by your grace. Oh, 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 your grace. Oh, 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 your grace.
Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet and receive the blessing of the Lord. Don't forget there's a free lunch in the patio after service. Stick around, get to know one another, and be blessed. Let me bless you. In the name of the Father, who loves us with an endless love. In the name of the Son, who died that we might live distinct lives.
Yes.
In the name of the Spirit, who strengthens us to communicate our faith in the Lord. May you go this week with the blessing of the Lord. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Hope to see you next week.
Where would I be?